So good morning. Welcome to the PA Conference for Women. My name is Pam Hisler. I'm a Senior Vice President and Regional Market Director for Beneficial Bank. We are so proud to be sponsoring this event again for the second year in a row. And I don't know if it's your first time or second time, but is this an awesome day or what? As your knowledge bank, Beneficial believes in empowering women not only to be financially fluent, but more confident in making important life decisions. I encourage you to visit with us in the Knowledge Bank Pavilion, located in the exhibit hall, where you will have the opportunity to receive a free credit report, and it's all in corners. So just take a look at where you can't miss us. We're to the left. Take a photo with one of your colleagues or friends, whoever you are here with. We have a green screen so you can actually pick your background. Talk to one of our small business experts. Access great content through our free financial library for women. So we have the financial library, and if you see a book you're interested in, you can just pop right next door to the store and purchase the book. And then find out how you can help a local women's charity. We also have a weekend retreat that you can enter to win, and that's at the Lodge at Woodlock. We're excited to host this session, Bridging the Cross-Gender Communication Gap to Improve Your Leadership and Advance Your Position. You will learn what causes misunderstandings, miscommunications, mistrust, resentment, and frustration in the workplace. You will also leave with practical advice you can use to remove the blind spots that prevent men and women from working and succeeding together. So let's get started. Please join me in welcoming to the stage the guest speaker for this session, John Gray, a relationship and communications guru, as well as the best-selling author of Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, and Work With Me, The 8 Blind Spots Between Men and Women in Business. He also just landed, so he came very patiently waiting. He is married, has 3 daughters and 4 grandchildren. So please welcome John.
Testing. Okay, everybody can hear me? Wow, I am so happy to be here. First of all, I want to excuse my dress, this is my travel outfit. Literally, I flew in from Brazil and the flight connected to here, and I just got out of the cab getting here. So it was just a last minute thing. I'm so lucky to get here and happy to be here. My wife would be a little horrified that I'm looking this way. So, but she's not here, so don't tell her. Okay, so, although I will, she'll get a chuckle. That's my husband. One time I was giving a big talk to 7,000 people, and I don't often give a talk that big. And she happened to be there. She doesn't travel a lot with me for the talks. And what happens is when I'm signing books, people always go up to her and say, "What's it like to be married to John Gray?" She hates that question. Same answer over and over for years and so forth. And occasionally somebody might say, "Oh, you're so lucky." And she really hates that one. They should say, they don't know. These guys say, or women say that actually, but they should say, "He's so lucky." And I am so lucky. And I think the big success of that book is trying to make sense of my wife. She was a perfect example from someone from Venus. I used to be counseling women, and almost like they all said the same thing my wife said. So it was very easy for me to suddenly start realizing, okay, it's not just my wife, but it's almost every woman that comes to me has the same issues. And similar issues, never the same, but similar. And so I wrote Men Are From Mars and many books subsequent, and they've asked me to talk today to one of my later books, which is called Work With Me, and I wrote it with Barbara Annis, who's a good friend of mine who's been teaching gender differences for years in the workplace. Now, the workplace isn't my specialty, although I counsel people, I coach people in the workplace, but that's all she's done. I have more of the personal side of it, marriage, relationships, and all that. And so I have my notes here. I'm going to go through the 8 blind spots. You know, they wanted me to 8 blind spots. So here they go. What we did basically is we coordinated courses together in the workplace and offices. And we go in, and we have these little 30 people classes, and everybody fill out a sheet about their issues, and then we discuss those issues. And this is the outcome of that. So we have 100,000 different forms, almost equal numbers of men and women. So this is fun to look at in terms of blind spot. Now, what's a blind spot? A blind spot is there a camera am I going to show up on a camera or something? No? All these people are expecting to see me up there. Anyway, I'll stand at the edge here so you can see me. Okay, so a blind spot is when you're driving your car and you turn to the lane. There's this little spot there, which is if you don't turn, you might bump into somebody. And so what you want to do is when you're driving, you have to always be aware there's a blind spot, and then you compensate for it. That's the idea here. Now, if you don't realize there's a blind spot there, then you end up stepping on people's toes. You end up unknowingly offending people. Basically, men end up stepping on women's toes and offending women. And women, quite often, when you don't understand the way men look at things, you unnecessarily and unknowingly lose credibility. Now, you have credibility. You've already earned that, that's for sure. But a guy could be thinking, she is so amazingly competent, and then suddenly you say something or do something, and he kind of goes, what? I thought she was so competent, so capable. Maybe I shouldn't give her more responsibilities, as opposed to the can-do person that you are. So this is always due to, generally speaking, due to blind spots. Now, I was just reading a review on one of my most recent books, and someone was criticizing me saying, oh, a few little communication tips are supposed to improve the workplace. That's not my message, although I will give you a few communication tips. But my message is if we can begin to understand each other better, as if we're from different planets and we want to work together, and we want to take time to understand each other and value each other and appreciate each other, because there's an enormous pressure on women in the workplace to become like men. There's not an enormous pressure in the workplace for men to become like women. So there's an injustice there, big time, okay? So, and if there were a lot of men in the room, they'd be going, yeah, you know, we don't want to be women. But there's this pressure, and sometimes you feel like it's all against you when really it's just these guys for a long time did those jobs and you weren't doing them. And so they set up the rules, so to speak. The culture of the workplace to various degrees is very Martian. It's designed for men, to support men, to put men at ease, not against women, but it feels that way because it's not designed for you to support you. Now, there's some women companies. I was just reading one woman's company, you know, and she said, the essence of our company is love and intuition. And that's what we value most. And that is a feminine value. That's something that if you in a business meeting says, my intuition tells me this, a lot of guys are going to, where's the detail? Where's the logic? Where's the fact? Show me how you got there. Well, I just sense it. I feel it. I've got a gut instinct. I'm intuitive. It doesn't fly with most men. More and more men are waking up to recognize the value of intuition. And then the next thing is love. Who can talk about love in the workplace? It's just not even, you know, it's like, that you just do at home in the bedroom. That's the way men think of it. So, I mean, love is, it's the foundation of success today, is people want to feel that you care about them. The coworkers want to feel you care. Management should feel like, people should feel like they care about us. We care about our clients. We care about our customers. Caring is such an essential thing. And we're willing to take the time to understand, to talk, to listen. Everything is not in a hurry, in a rush. But in the Martian world, time is money. Everything is about a rush to get to the, not everything, but to have a discussion, I have to make some generalizations. There's always exceptions to everything I say. So part of what's beneficial about this talk, I'll say up front, And I want to create a dilemma here that we're going to move in the direction of solving and resolving. And that has to do with some of the differences between men and women. And there'll be some good insights that come along with this little introduction, which is women's hormones are different from men's hormones. Now, we all have the same hormones, but you have a different cycle of hormones and a different preponderance of hormones, and men have different ones. And they have a big impact on how we experience stress in our lives. So there was a study that was done in Norway, which is actually a very, you know, fair to most, in the most country that's proud of equality, equality of pay, equality of opportunity, equality of everything. But even there, they found in a study that women's stress levels, as measured by a hormone called cortisol, who's familiar with that term? Okay, so nice to see the hands go up. I was just in Brazil. I said, who knows cortisol? Your hands up. Okay, we'll start at the beginning. But cortisol, I mean, we all know about it, is the stress hormone. And when you're stressed, you're not happy. You're not fulfilled. And ultimately, down the line, you're not healthy. You know, we now know that cortisol inhibits the immune system. Cortisol inhibits digestion. And most importantly, cortisol inhibits the hormonal balance between estrogen and progesterone. Every time you're stressed, your body robs progesterone to make cortisol. So, you know, a lot of women are doing progesterone creams or whatever because you're going, why do I need extra progesterone? It's basically you're stressed. Otherwise, your body would make it, but your body makes it and then turns it into cortisol if you feel stressed. And one of the benefits of progesterone, and I'm not a medical doctor here, and I'm not recommending taking progesterone. I'm just helping to inform us. My bias is good diet, cleansing, extra nutrition, a few supplements, a few herbs. Help your body heal from stress. That's my perspective, and I have a whole website on that, but that's not the topic today. When you have this elevated stress level, you're using up your progesterone to make cortisol. Now, one of the functions of progesterone is to calm you. When your progesterone levels are made, see, when your body's under stress, it says, we don't need progesterone to calm us. We need to be upset. This is a dangerous situation. Bear chasing us or whatever it might be. So that's cortisol. So cortisol speeds up blood flow to your brain. Now, there was a study that was done back in 1995. I read it in one of these scientific books. And it was that under moderate stress, women will experience 8 times more blood flow to the emotional part of the brain when compared to a man. This is why men are constantly misinterpreting women. Is that one of the blind spots we asked the group of women and group of men, and we said, are women too emotional? This is, everybody could give their answers privately. And the majority of men said yes. And the majority of women said no. So there's a blind spot there. He's walking around thinking women are too emotional. Women are walking around thinking we're not too emotional. Because you're not. You have a different design. That's what accesses your intuition. That's what makes you great collaborators. That's what makes you great cooperators. That's what makes you aware of other people's needs and how we need to deliver a message to other people. That's what helps you resolve conflicts better. This is our relationship skills. Our emotional intelligence comes from having emotions and experiencing emotions. I'm not saying a man can't develop emotional intelligence. And I'm not saying all women are experts at emotional intelligence, but you've been dealing with emotions a lot longer than men do because you have this different wiring, which is when there's moderate stress, what you see in a woman's brain is blood flow goes to the emotional part of the brain. When a man is experiencing moderate stress, he detaches from his emotions. So one of the questions we asked is, are men too insensitive? So women went, yes. Yeah. A lot of women said, majority of women said yes. And men said, what are you talking about? Some are, but not me. That's always how they answer that one. He's not very sensitive. I'm so sensitive. So there's a basic bottom line difference, which is complementary. And we need to respect it, appreciate it, which is when there's stress, That means urgency. There's a sense of urgency. A man, his first reaction, he can get emotional and get just as emotional as a woman, but his first reaction is detachment. He separates from his emotions. Blood flow bypasses the limbic system, which, by the way, the emotional center of the brain is the limbic system. And a woman's brain is twice as big as a man's brain. Because it uses so much more. Yes, okay, twice as big. Bigger is better, all right. Put a little Mars in there. So the limbic system. And where that blood flow goes, now where would the activation need to be if you were needing support? And that's part of the whole emotional thing, is when there's danger, women look for, where is the support? Where is the team? Let's come together. Where are our resources? That's what emotions help us to do. For the man, he's not looking for his resources, he's looking to himself. What do I have to do? Can I do this? Is this necessary? Do I have to do it now, or can I postpone it? And that's always a priority for men, is what is the most important thing to do. So anything that doesn't seem like the biggest fire gets forgotten, literally forgotten. And this whole stress reaction bypasses memory as well. So he doesn't have the access to every failure of the past, every upset of the past, and every success of the past. Women do. When you're under stress, blood flow goes to the emotional part of the brain, then it accesses a part of the brain, which is called the hippocampus. Hippocampus is your memory, your emotional memory, is all your experiences of love and happiness and disappointment and frustration and concern and failure, the whole gamut. It's like your hippocampus is twice as big as a man's. If you're married, you have an extra floor, which is every fault he's ever had. I try to comfort men. All you have to do is lower her stress levels, and then she takes the elevator down to the ground floor, and she forgets all of your problems. But when stress goes up, what we have to recognize is, you're going to, you know, if I'm going to put my finger in a fire, that's going to burn me. I want to remember all the other times it happened so I don't do it again. That's why memory is so important under stress. And women have this huge flow that goes there 8 times more than a man. So a man has some memory, but his main focus is going to be, it bypasses the limbic system. It goes to the part of the brain that can see things and do things. So he wants to take action. And he has hormones to support that. He has testosterone. Now, you have testosterone too, but the difference is that his testosterone levels, on average, are much higher, maybe like 30 times more. There are some guys that may be 20 times more, and of course, there's politicians who are 50 times more. Okay, well, you have to be really tough to be a politician. You can't care what people think. You know, that's a job where you win by 1%. 51% people like you, you win. 49 hate you and disagree with you and more today. It's like they're going to take shots at you. So it's a tough job to be a politician. You have to be able to not carry that home with you. You have to be able to keep focusing on your track, which sometimes is beneficial and sometimes is a disaster because you don't listen. So we'll go to one of these other questions, which is, do men listen? And what did women say? No. Most women said no. And what did men say? Of course. What are you talking about? It's like, you know, we've all in our personal relationships, and in personal relationships are kind of better examples sometimes, just because we feel more freedom to say what we think and feel. You know, if it's somebody in a hierarchy business situation, it's hard to say, you're not listening to me. Although I suggest you do, but using another way of doing it. It's literally like there's almost a button that gets pushed into women, which is when a man is now interrupting you with a fix it and a solution because he's got 30 times more testosterone that says, fire, put it out. That's what and men do score much faster on reaction tests. It's testosterone. One of the major functions of testosterone is faster reaction time. So you run faster, you get away faster, you act faster, you make a decision faster, you just go for it. And how do you make a decision faster? You make a decision faster by not weighing all the consequences. So who weighs all the consequences? Women. You're like thinking, well, if we did this, that could happen. We did this, that could happen. And of course, when anybody ever sort of says, that's just ridiculous, John. Occasionally people will say anything I say is ridiculous. When you get out there, there's always some people. And they have a point. I mean, they may not relate to all the stuff I talk about. But this is general. This is just general. Not every single person and every example is going to fit. But, you know, as a man, if you've ever tried to, well, I'll just share my own experience. I have three daughters and a wife, and they're hungry. So, and we've got a few other people there too, two other women there. And we say, oh, let's go find a restaurant. They look to me and they say, where should we go? I'm not even hungry. Why are you asking me? And so I have to come up with an idea. I say, oh, let's go to the Chinese restaurant. And my wife pipes in, oh, John, we had Chinese 3 days ago. Don't you remember? Okay. So I gave my best shot. And then she says, well, where should we go? I said, where do you want to go? I don't know. She says, well, what about the Italian restaurant? Oh, the Italian restaurant. You know they change cooks there. We talked about it last time. Don't you remember? I remember all the good meals there. She remembered. Jane is gluten intolerant. We can't go there. You know, Jane, where would you like to go? Now, Jane's in the picture. Well, I think I would like this kind of restaurant. Oh, but that doesn't work for Carol. And Carol goes, but all right, we'll do what Jane wants. No, we should do what you want. This big discussion, okay? It's just, and it's like we're going to try to please everybody here and decide the right restaurant. But my secret as a man, this is the coaching I give to men, encourage the conversation. This is not just about getting to the restaurant. This is a love fest. Okay? We're bonding together. And as we bond together, whatever restaurant we pick will be fine. But before we bond together, we've got to sort of hear everybody and connect everybody and so forth. Now, here's the biological aspect of that, which is really very nice if men in the workplace could understand this, and particularly for husbands and boyfriends and the other half to know that. But at least today, you know it. And you can always share these ideas in the appropriate time and place. And that's about our hormonal differences, the hormone oxytocin. But I want to mention, I didn't finish one point over here, so I'm going to hold oxytocin over there and come back to this unfinished point, which is, how do you say you're not listening? Because that happens to be this big blind spot, is that women feel men aren't listening, and from the woman's point of view, he's not listening, and from his point of view, he is. So if he thinks he's listening, and you say you're not listening, what kind of message are you giving to him? Sounds kind of critical, right? Kind of rejecting, blaming. And we want to try to take that out as much as we can in our personal lives, in our work lives, to create a warm, friendly environment. And so sometimes a few little tips can make a difference. And in this case, this is my signature phrase, which is, instead of saying you're not listening, say this instead. I'm about to say it. Let me say that differently. That's the phrase. Let me say that differently. You're talking to somebody, they're not getting you, you feel like they're not hearing you, you pause. Just pause, think for a moment, and then you say, let me say that differently. Now, what message are you giving there? No blame, no criticism. I mean, if they're particularly sensitive, they might think, oh, what am I, stupid? I couldn't get it the first time, but you could assure them they're not. And it takes a while sometimes to get ideas across. So it's always the idea is coming back to patience. Now, you know when you're late somewhere and you don't know where what the directions are, you're like you're lost and you're trying to get someplace, your frustration is much, much higher. Your impatience is much, much greater. And it's because we don't know what's going on. So the more we sort of understand what's going on, the better. You know, if I bring this into the personal realm and the dating realm, for many years and still to this day, if I'm in kind of a social setting, there a single woman will come up to me and say, "Oh, you wrote that book?" I go, "Yeah." She says, "Well, let me tell you about this experience I had on a date." And she wants to tell me in great detail every single thing she said, he said, his look, his nod. I already know where this is going. And so I did all of that. Why didn't he call back? So there's this, you know, what is it? And, you know, quite often the answer is he could have had a good time and now he's doing something else. Typically, men don't sit by the phone going, "Why doesn't she call back?" There's a concept in personal relationships that those of you who've read Men Are From Mars, you're familiar with, and it's the rubber band theory, and it implies in the workplace as well. But in a personal relationship, where you probably have all experienced it in various degrees, a man just seems so in love with you, it's like he'll do anything in the world for you. It's just, you're just the greatest. He's having a good time, he loves you, and sees how beautiful you are, and wonderful you are, smart and intelligent you are, all those things. And then he seems to withdraw and not be interested in you at all. It's like suddenly he's going back to work, he doesn't call you, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. And then a few days later, or maybe a week later or something, he's totally that way again. And, you know, if you had some psychological training, you might think he's schizophrenic. You know, he's here one day, gone the next. I remember a book cover I once saw, which the book title was, "If You Can't Live Without Me, Why Aren't You Dead?" But that's what it was. I can't live without you. And then suddenly he's off playing golf, you know? It's just like, and you go on a romantic weekend together, and often women are thinking, "Oh, we're bonding. We're having all this time together with no distractions." And this wonderful hormone called oxytocin is increasing. Oxytocin is this bonding hormone. And then suddenly, it's like you're not even in his awareness for the next 3 or 4 days or 2 weeks, whatever it is. It's just, did something go wrong? Is it a problem? Whatever. It can be a success. And what happens, it's like being with you is like a delicious meal. And you eat the meal, you're totally satisfied, and theoretically you shouldn't be hungry in an hour or two. Some of us are, and that's not a sign we're not healthy. But for a healthy male, you could go for days without even thinking of her until she's more and more a part of your life. And it would be hard on my wife if I wasn't a traveling guy. I travel one-third of the time at the most. So every month, I'm not allowed to be out of the house more than one-third of the time. We scratch off those days. You know, she's got her days. We worked it out, which is often one of the biggest challenges in relationships, is work it out where both people get what they need. So I get to have my rubber band time where I pull away. My work brings me away, and I'm in my work right now. My rubber band's pulling away, and we'll stretch. So what happens to a guy? He pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls, and then it stops. That's his limit. And now all he thinks about is her. I can't wait to get back home to her. I miss her. I love her. I feel all those things stronger because there's like a tension that builds up. I'm connected to her. The tension is desire. My desire for her. My motivation to be in this relationship with her. As opposed to just kind of going along. You have what you want. You get kind of used to it, whatever. You pull apart and it creates desire. And at that time, when a man pulls away, distances himself, and you pursue him, he just keeps pulling away. So some couples, for 30 years, he's just pulling away, pulling away, pulling away. Really had this older woman come to me one time when I was a younger man. It was a long time ago, I remember. But she said, "John, I'm a cave buster. When my husband pulls away, I go in and I'm going to dig ditches. I'm going to find, he tunnels away and I get in there and I'm going to find him." And after that rubber band thing, I realized I've been doing it wrong all this time. I keep pursuing him instead of letting him have some time alone. Let him feel lonely and let him come back to me. And then women say to me, "Well, what am I supposed to do then?" Well, it's called having a life. Having a life. You got friends, and particularly like today, you know, your week is going to be on a high. When you get this, my week is a high just being here with you. There's one somewhere I read in a book that it was some study that just being in the presence of a happy woman for 10 minutes will change a man's day. You know, it does. It just, you give us color. You give us, look at all the color you have. I mean, all your bright outfits and beautiful, all this. And if a woman is happy, completely awaken him to more of his heart, to the feeling part. I saw this so clearly when I married my wife 30 years ago, which is, without her in my life, it was kind of like black and white. It was, I'm very good at achieving my goals. I work hard to do it. I'm rushing from one thing to another. I enjoy rushing, by the way. She doesn't, so I have to slow down when I'm with her. But otherwise, it was actually stress-free for me to get here. I said, I calculated on the phone. I said, with my little clock, I said, you know, I'm going to get there 5 minutes before I start. You know, so 5 minutes is 5 minutes. You're in. I don't have the outfit, but my wife's not here, so it's okay. So. The way men think here, I'm just this great example comes up of this, one of these giant truck drivers. Okay, the huge truck, and he's driving it, and he's moving out a very tight space. He says, as long as I got an inch, it's as big as a mile, because that's all I need. So men don't mind those tight spaces, that last minute and so forth. And part of it is that the hormone that helps men regulate stress effectively is testosterone. So when we wait for the last minute for kind of like an emergency, our testosterone surges up. We feel big and strong. Okay, it's just like, look at me, I'm big and strong. It's like, we feel successful. We feel confident. We're making at that moment the brain chemicals for a man of self-esteem is when his testosterone is surging. Now, a lot of times, testosterone used to get a bad rap. People used to think testosterone was when men are violent or something like that. And you know, there have been some really bad raps, but it wasn't testosterone. What happens is when a man experiences stress, he detaches from his emotions. Literally has no emotions for a little while. Gives him testosterone to solve the problem. Now, as he's solving the problem, if he begins to believe that I can't solve this problem, if he begins to believe that I will fail and my self-esteem or my life, my economy, my money, whatever it might, my job, is in danger. So people will think less of me, I won't make as much money, I won't get as much opportunity, etc. That's danger in the workplace. So I shift away from my feelings. Testosterone goes up to solve the problem. I have focus, I have motivation, I have this drive to do it. At a certain point, I feel an obstacle hits, I can't solve it. Then testosterone converts into estrogen. There's a conversion that happens. A hormone enzyme called aromatase gets released. And it literally changes testosterone into estrogen. Estrogen floods his brain with emotions. So then he becomes emotional. And he has no training to deal with that kind of emotion. And it only generally happens for men when they're under high stress, cortisol shooting up, and blood flow primarily goes to the back part of the brain and the emotional center. He doesn't have the ability to use the front part of the brain. So that's why men do things without thinking. And, you know, that's why in the Army, men are trained so they can do things without thinking. It's routine, 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 routine. You follow orders, you follow orders, you follow. You subjugate yourself completely to the structure, to the rules. Rules of engagement. It's all rules, rules, rules. You surrender yourself to it. Because in combat, you can't think. In combat, you are just reactive. So you have to have these programs to go in. You have no control when you're a man, or you have some. If you have emotional intelligence, then you learn. This is a learned skill, which is to be able to become emotional and not act on it. But you have to realize in the past, when men were emotional, let's say you're in, past, I mean million years. Okay, so let's say you're afraid. Fear says stop. You're going into battle. You're scared to death, but you got to go into battle. So you have to learn to push your feelings away, push your feelings away. We don't learn to listen to our feelings. We don't learn to transform our feelings. This is not one of men's major gifts. You have them your whole life. So emotional intelligence tends to come much easier for women. And that's a very, very important skill in the workplace today. And men are catching on. You know, this is like very important. It's all about relationships. You know, when you've got unlimited opportunities of who you're going to work with, go online, find the best price, you know. So suddenly, what is your only selling point? Is relationship, communication skill, demonstration of really love. Are you going to care for this person? Are you interested in this person? Are you committed to this person? Are the people you work with positive towards you? So the blind spot, he's not listening. Here's a way to get a guy to listen. I'll say it again, because these are new skills. Make sure to write this one down, which is, let me try saying this differently. Now, this whole thing about, are women too emotional? I'm going to give you a fun story so you can remember this one. It's actually more fun when men are here, because men are the ones that have to realize this the most. But still, it's important for you to realize men don't have this little insight, that women are designed to be more emotional. And when she's more emotional, it doesn't mean she's a man who's more emotional. See, when a man gets more emotional, what does it mean? He can't solve the problem. He feels threatened. When a woman becomes emotional, she's not saying, I can't solve the problem. She may not even be planning to solve the problem yet. She's just connecting with her emotions to feel out, where is my self-support here? Do I have support? Do I not have support? In the past, have I had support? So there'll be an emotional reaction that will come up based upon an awareness of, do I have what I need? And then your awareness goes to, okay, well, where are your support systems? So that's how women always are branching out, networking, and so forth. But men don't understand that. They assume that if you're being emotional about something, that you're saying, I can't solve it. Because that's what men are saying when they get emotional. You get that one? So it's a really clear thing. So that's a bummer. You know, that means if you don't have someone enlightened male, he's going to be judgmental of you if you get emotional. So you've learned to hold it in. Don't show it. Don't show it. You might be ridiculed. What are you getting upset about that for? What's the big deal? You can't handle it? You know, grow up. Be a big boy. You know, it's like, shut it down. And that causes huge stress for women in the workplace. See, when you're, in a sense, taking on that code. See, men have a code, which if I get emotional, basically, that means I can't get the job done. Unless I get emotional about something really big that I'm not expected to solve, like my father dies. You know, you see these politicians, their father dies, they're crying. Everybody goes, oh, he really loves his father a lot. You know, so at the same time, those politicians will make fun of some other guy who's an emotional person. But if the problem is really big, lions, tigers, and bears, and you have strong emotion, hey, the best men do. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. So that's the world I live in. I get emotional, lions, tigers, and bears. So the whole time I'm coming here, I'm late, I got it checked out, everything's cool. All right, having a good time. My wife would be, oh my gosh, what do we got to do? And they thought this, you're dressed like this. We'll make it. Okay, so here I am at the house when I'm reading that study about women's brains having more blood flow in the emotional part of the brain when it's not a big problem. And this is the most important thing that men have to understand is that she's not saying it's a big problem. You ever notice that men will say to you, well, why are you making a big deal out of this? And you're not. You just want to talk about it. You know, this is, let's talk about it. Let's understand this. And he says, well, if it's not a big deal, why do you have to talk about it? What we do on our planet is if it's not a big deal, you forget it. Done. We remember the big stuff, not the little stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff, that old book, you know, just like, hey, let it go. Well, so there's not always an easy solution to this, but at least when you know the layout, you come up with more creative answers for things. I'll give you a few that may be helpful. So you find yourself getting emotional and a guy says to you, why are you making a big deal out of this? Take a deep breath. And kind of in a playful way, she says, I just want to talk about it. It's not really a big deal at all, but I do want to talk about it. It just, I can let go of it easier that way. Just hint to him that you're going to let go of it. Now, let's not blame him too much on that. He really doesn't know. See, his whole world is just, if we don't have to fix it or solve it or do something about it now, why can't we just never talk about it? And he also generally had the experience of his wife being upset about something. And he'll basically say the same thing to her, which is, honey, don't make a big deal out of it. And anybody who's married knows that if he says that, we're going to talk a long time. Okay? So he has that history. Now, sometimes a guy doesn't know what to say. If you're upset about something and bothered by something, he really doesn't know what to say. He feels awkward. He doesn't understand the situation. That's one of the questions we had, which is, do men have to walk on eggshells? And women say, no, they don't have to walk on eggshells. Why should they have to walk on eggshells? We're all working together. And men, that's the highest rating, like almost 95% of men all said, oh, yeah, around the women, we have to walk on eggshells. Now, on one level, you have to see the intent behind there is respect. It's like, okay, I don't know what's going to upset her, so I'm just going to be real, real careful. But at another level, that puts you a separate, that keeps you from cooperating, interacting, and it's a bit of an insult. But behind his thinking is, all right, I don't know what else to do. Because he doesn't know what else to do. He doesn't have what we might call today gender intelligence. And the great thing about gender intelligence is it really can be learned very quickly. It just has to be taught. And, you know, men generally don't like to be taught by women. That's another part of it. Particularly their wives, we'll put it that way, or somebody they're working with. But if you have a playful kind of friendly relationship, you can bring these things up. And so you're getting upset about something. You basically say, no, I'm not making a big deal out of it, really. I just want to talk a little bit about it, then I'll feel better. It'll be done. And if tears come up, that's when men really feel, oh, my God, what did I say? What do I do? You know, they feel like it's really unfair because if you cry, I'm supposed to, like, do whatever it takes to make you happy. It's just sort of a, and yet we're doing business here, you know, so it's a awkward moment for him. So you make it less of an awkward moment for him because you understand he doesn't know what to do with this. He really doesn't know what to do with this. And you just make a little comment. And you wouldn't make the comment if you didn't realize there was this blind spot. Is he going to be walking on eggshells? And you need to just say to him, you don't have to walk on eggshells around me. This is just a little thing. It'll be a moment. I'll let it go. It's just that little phrase, I'll let it go. And the guy goes, oh, okay, I can handle that. Okay, that's fine. And then you get to be a bit more authentic in the workplace. Because the more you feel I can be myself, and this is happening more and more, the previous generation of feminism, women really dressing like men and so forth, and really had to play by all the male rules. But now we have a whole level of greater recognition of women's competence. You don't have to prove your competence by doing it like a man, by being like a man, by acting like a man, by thinking like a man. But it's still good to know the way men think. Because then you can more clearly interpret their reactions to things. So one of the questions we had here was, are women excluded in the workplace? And men said no. That was a surprise. And most women said, yes, I feel excluded. A majority of women said, I feel excluded. So I'm going to give you a few examples of how this happens, because it's really quite naive on both sides. Just not knowing this blind spot. We just don't understand the sort of the rules of the game. If you were playing basketball and you know the rules, you know that it's perfectly fine to steal the ball from somebody. That's okay. You don't hit them when you do it, but you steal the ball from them. And then you run down the other court and you score your own point and you go, look what I did. Okay, that's one of the rules of the game. But let's say you're just going out there, you don't know that's a rule of the game. You're playing, and say your objective is to get this side, their objective to go that. When you got the ball and you're going down, and somebody just comes and steals the ball from you. Wait a second, what happened? This is not a fun game. People are like attacking me. What's going on here? So one of the rules that it sort of lives inside of men, nobody writes them out, they're sort of hormonal in a sense, and conditioning and years of being a certain way and actually playing on football teams or basketball teams or whatever. This is kind of the mentality that men have. And a lot of women have told me because they started doing sports, they could understand this better. Because, you know, a long time women didn't do sports, and now they're doing sports. This is a little bit more the male mentality, the competitive and, you know, thing. So you're sitting, now this is not all women, because some women are assertive and express themselves and they get ahead, but not all women do. So those are the ones I'm mainly talking about. Or they feel resentful because they feel excluded. And so I'm sitting at a table, and I have women that work with me, and I have men that work with me, and we meet every week at least once. So we all come together, we have our meeting. And I notice that the guys typically jump in and interrupt. They tend to jump out there with their ideas and say this and say that. And there are certain people on our team that I consider to be extremely valuable. I'll just look at one. We'll call her Mary. It's not really Mary. The names are fictitious. So Mary's like listening. She's taking everything in. She's a real team player, real supportive. She's taking everything in. And she never interrupts. She never says anything. And I would, if I didn't understand this, that some women are this way, and some men are this way, but it can happen a lot with women, I would think that she has nothing to say. Because if I'm with all guys, and we're all like getting our points, and one guy doesn't say anything, we all assume he doesn't have anything to say. Because he's a guy, if he could take the shot, he would take the shot. So we don't even want to notice it. We don't want to say, hey, Bob, you haven't said anything. Guess you don't have anything to say, huh? So if somebody's not talking, it's actually our tendency to ignore them as a gift to them. So we don't want to embarrass them. Saving face is this big deal, as you know, with men. And so when Mary's not saying anything, I used to just ignore her, assuming she had nothing to say. And then I wrote this book and realized I need to start asking Mary what she thinks. And women will tend to do this automatically when it's women working together and they notice one woman's not talking. They will say, Jane, what do you think about that? You had that experience with so-and-so. There's a gathering. There's an inclusiveness. And it's a way of building trust. I care about you. I value what you have to say. So over here, if I'm not including Mary, she starts to feel excluded and she doesn't feel that she's valued as much. And the truth is, if I don't hear all that she has to say, I can't value her as much. So it's really very, very important that leaders in the workplace are inclusive so everybody feels valued. Now, if it was just men, it wouldn't be that important. You feel like you're in a meeting and you leave the meeting, you didn't say anything, but you go out and somebody says, how'd the meeting go? You'll say, oh, we decided to do this and this and this. And so you take credit for that, kind of like a football team. You may not have scored any points, but you blocked, okay? So we won Super Bowl. You know, I'm part of the team that did it. And so a guy will, you know, take credit for that and so forth. Whereas a woman will feel excluded. She'll leave the meeting. How was the meeting? Oh, I can't believe they're doing this and this and this. And nobody asked me what I thought at all. And there's actually a study that shows if she leaves a meeting with discontent because she feels excluded, she'll tell 33 people. That's why I warn the men. You don't understand. Women will bring you down. They're the marketing of the world. So that's another one of the key ones is exclusion. Is sometimes you're being excluded and it's not intentional. And sometimes it's complete lack of awareness of men. They just are unconscious. And to take it personally is actually to lose credit in his eyes. This is the number one Mars rule for men, is not to take things personally. You know how they say, it's just business, I'm firing you, and it's just business. You know, they can disconnect from any personal side of it. And if you take things personally, and what does it look like to take it personally, is you're at the table and nobody's asking you any questions, and you sit inside and say, nobody values me, nobody cares about me, I don't have any value in this company, why aren't they including me? you walk away with resentment. There's an old saying from China, which is to take offense is to give offense. Have you ever noticed, you just say, I'm offended. Somebody says to you, I'm offended by what you said. You feel offended that they're offended. That's an automatic reaction. And now we have science that even shows it to us. There's these things in our limbic system called mirror neurons. And whatever you see out there, your brain has that reaction. So somebody gets emotional with you, you get emotional back. And this is a real problem with men. If you don't tell them, kind of like, oh, this is not a big deal. I just need to talk about it. I can let it go. Okay, I'm going to let it go. Then he can go, okay, we can let it go. As opposed to, he might then, his brain will start to mirror. If you're not trusting him, he'll stop not trusting you. See, when your fear is mistrust, or he'll interpret it that way at least, and he'll go into mistrust of you. And defensive, how they get. And we have to just realize that, you know, we've survived a long time because we have strong defense mechanisms when we don't feel supported. And we can't make good decisions, we can't be good leaders when we're just coming from an emotionally defensive place. And so, I want to make sure I got through all of my eight messages. One of them is, the first one was, do women think men should change? And women went, yes. And men went, well, they shouldn't. What's wrong with us? And that's an old Martian formula, which is, until it's broken, don't fix it. And the Venusian formula is, no matter how good it is, how can we make it better? Let's make it better. It's that nurturing hormone, oxytocin. It gives you that sense. And it's an adjustment for men. So you have to be careful when you're talking to men about making things better, because you often see men get all backed up. They get drawn away. They don't want to listen to what you're saying. So you want to find some ways to put men at ease. And this is great in the workplace. This is one of those little tips, takeaway tip, can change your life. Now, the big picture is greater understanding. We take less offense. We don't take things personally. And then we can use our front brain, not our back brain here, to come up with creative solutions so everybody is winning, everybody's connecting, and there's a sense of harmony. But you know that men are run by testosterone. When men's testosterone goes up, their stress goes down. For women, oxytocin. When oxytocin is up, her stress goes down. So one of the challenges for women is you're in a work environment, and if you're doing jobs that stimulate testosterone, which is danger, urgency, decisive, making decisions that have risk, and almost every decision is a risk because you can succeed or fail, and those kinds of roles, women have a greater vulnerability. Not saying they can't do it. I'm saying that those are testosterone-producing activities. And testosterone doesn't lower your stress. This is what they found. The hormone oxytocin lowers your stress. So there's two answers to this. So when you're doing a traditional male job, which were all the testosterone-type jobs, when you're doing those jobs, you want to create in your workplace a context where you can also be making oxytocin, where you're on a team, where you feel supported, where there's good communication, where there's collaboration. And that's where we're all moving, where there's flexibility, where we're also supporting our lifestyle. Because one thing is what the work environment is, but see, women are never just in one place. You're everywhere. You're thinking about your kids, you're thinking about your house, you're thinking about your children, you're thinking about the work, you're thinking about the clients, you're thinking about your past, the future. You've got it all going. Your brain is so much more active than a man's brain. And it can be a benefit to you, or it can cause you to worry a lot and stress a lot. And what is it that will help you have that super brain with all this extra neural connectors that you have to multitask and all these things is the hormone oxytocin. If you're making oxytocin, it keeps your stress levels down and you don't become overwhelmed by looking at so many things. So what creates oxytocin? I mentioned a few things in the workplace, but the workplace really isn't the best oxytocin producing place. Okay. Hugs are really big oxytocin. Massage is a big oxytocin producer. Shopping, when you're not in a hurry, is a big oxytocin producer. Coming to an event like this, just lots of women, people like you, is a huge oxytocin event. The most powerful oxytocin producer is when you feel you're not alone. And the way you feel you're not alone when you have such an emotional part of your brain is when somebody shares your feelings. So all you have to do is say to a woman, another woman, "Oh my gosh, he said this to me." And the woman has been in that situation and she knows how you feel because she's got the same hormones, the same situation. So you immediately feel bonded. You say that to a guy and he said this to you and you go, "And yeah." It's just, he doesn't have the same emotional reaction. So you're constantly feeling separate and not connected. But so it's not a big oxytocin producer. It's a massive oxytocin producer when a man actually listens to you, which is, you know, it's huge because it's so unusual. And so that's, you know, my relationship courses, and my time is coming to end, but I want to invite you to my MarsVenus.com website where I have ongoing free relationship courses. They're there. I do lots and lots of videos every week. My youngest daughter, who's 28, is doing the most amazing videos for women. One of her big things, she's just about to launch her course on how to get me time. Daddy couldn't figure that one out. I needed her to do it. I have no problem getting me time. I just get on an airplane, that's me time, you know, just like. But for women, you want to go and take a nice bath or something. You sit there and worry about work the whole time and 50 other things. So how do you calm the mind and bring it back to that place? What's my time on this? It's time. Okay, so let me end on a few sweet words, which is the last one I left, my favorite to the last is, are women appreciated in the workplace? And women, a lot of women said no. A lot of men, almost all men said yes. That's the surprising thing. So a final little story. When I first learned men are from Mars, women are from Venus, my assistant at that time was Helen. Helen wanted to quit. I said, "Why do you want to quit?" She said, "I don't feel appreciated." I said, "Why don't you feel appreciated?" And she said, "You don't know what I do." And I thought to myself, that's why I appreciate you so much. Anyway, I learned thank you. Let me give you the final word. But I learned that day what would make her feel appreciated is knowing what she does and asking those questions. And men don't think to do that. They just look at the results. Good job. As opposed to, what did you do? And so to just say, "Hey, I just want to go over what I'm doing so you know what I'm doing." Because if he doesn't know what you're doing, a man who you're working with, he can't appreciate you as much as you deserve. Because what I found with Helen is once I started asking her every day, knowing what she does, and she would feel free to say, "Oh, it's so frustrating. I called these people 13 times. They didn't answer." You know, wow, I hear you. And basically, and if you ever hear a man, he's standing there and he wants to fix you, you say, no, you don't have to fix me. You just have to stand there, say nothing. I'm just sharing. Just say, "I hear you." That's it. And you just do that, and he goes, "Okay, I got something to do." Okay, he needs something to do. But I realized that day and in that time that listening to what women go through is a huge way for women to feel connected in the workplace and, of course, at home to create a lasting and loving relationship. Thank you all for showing up today. It's been a great day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.